Goedenavond en welkom bij het programma In de Plaatkast van het programma. En ik, Pieter Tinbergen, iedere week duik in de plaatkast van een bekende en of interessante Amsterdammer. Well, now I'm going to start to do it in English. Already. Two weeks ago, I told the listeners that this was a special program. Because my program, to be honest, to be precise, in 4 days it will exist 20 years exactly. So I had invited a guest, but she became ill, unfortunately. During a visit to ABBA, so she will certainly come later, I think somewhere in 2024. You will hear again of Alifka Belsma, the writer, the activist, etc., etc. A very inspirational lady. Anyway, then I ask another inspirational lady today, Katrien van Beurde, whether she could come, and then she said, well, I can't, unfortunately, but I have a very good friend from Palestine, a certain person called Allah, and he can come. And I must admit, she knew that at exactly 5:30. So there has hardly been any time that I didn't know anything about the person I would meet like today. I only know that he is an actor, that Katrien van Beurde likes him, and that he's from Palestine. But on the other hand, cycling to this program and also thinking a little, and he obviously doesn't speak Dutch, otherwise he would do it. Cycling to this program, I thought, also thinking about the fact that it's 20 years this program, I thought about the first guest, and that was Lodewijk Asscher, and he has become a prime minister. But he is, and it sounds awful because it always matters about a person and not about what a background somebody has. But his grandfather was a Jew, obviously, in the Second World War. So, and then I thought there is some strange irony in the fact that the first and the last, in a certain way, after 20 years, I've got a Palestinian who is also in a way oppressed, and his grandfather was also oppressed. So there was some strange feelings I had about that. Anyway, we are going to find, the listener will find exactly out as much as I do about Allah of today. Allah from Palestine, you were there yesterday, is that correct? Or when did you arrive from the Netherlands, from Palestine?
I did arrive actually 10 days ago.
10 days ago. Mm. Obviously, always this is a program about not about music, it's about people. You don't know, obviously. I guess you don't know. you knew that Katrien liked it. But this is a program with music, and now I see that you have some CDs with you, is that correct?
Somewhat.
CDs or not?
No.
It's not CDs. So maybe we can also listen to some of the music you like, and I'll watch it on YouTube. Would you like that? Is there some music you would like? Or
We can go to some classic Arabic music.
Oh, okay. Maybe, And let me see what else I do. Let's first do some music. Could you give me what can I look for? And then after the music, we'll have a deeper discussion, obviously.
Okay. As a classic Arab music, you have Umm Kulthum, which is U-M.
How do you write it? H-O-M?
U-M.
Oh, U-M. Yeah.
Space.
Yeah.
Okay. K O.
Yeah.
L.
Yeah. Kultum.
Yes.
Okay. And there's a lady with it. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. This is. I see all kinds of music of 8:58. It doesn't matter what to listen. Yeah. Just listen part of it.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we'll listen for 4 minutes or around that. To Umm Kulthum, and after that we'll discuss. Okay, that's good. See whether there is commercial. No, we'll listen to Umm Kulthum right now.
Oh.
and you're listening to In the Plaatkast van Ala. Is that your real name, by the way? Ala sounds so short. The actor from Palestine.
The name is Ala.
Yeah, Ala.
And it is very hard for you to say Ah.
Okay.
So my name is Ala.
Yeah.
It's four letters.
Oh, okay. That's a very short name. Anyway, you're an actor from Palestine, and yeah, my news heart is good enough, of course, just to ask about your. I want to talk about both, but first about being from Palestine. You arrived here 10 days ago, you said, but yeah, how are you being in Palestine, and how do you live through these days?
It is very difficult situation actually back home, especially in Gaza Strip. I came from Jenin, which is the north of the West Bank. And was so hard for me to get through because I have to go through all the Israeli occupation checkpoints.
Yeah.
I have to go through all of that to go to Jordan. And then from Jordan, I have to fly to the Netherlands. But the situation back home in Gaza, I don't know how much people are educated and informed about the situation. More than 12,500 people died till this moment. And while we're talking, bombed still going on.
Yeah, no, well, I must admit, I'm a luxurious bastard, I have to say about myself, because I try to not look at it because it makes me sad.
Yeah.
And I have the luxury to be able to do that, to be honest.
No, I understand you. A lot of people around can't handle it, but people are dying. And we are asking everyone around the world not to support the occupation. Please, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop bombing families, kids, mosques, churches. Please, this is too much.
Yeah, because in my fancy, I think that you think everybody, every night for your family, for example, are there going to fall bombs on them? Is that a real fear for everybody? Could there be a bomb next day on my house, to say it like that? Or how do you...
People in Gaza hates night, hates the dark.
Yeah.
Because every second they expect a rocket coming over their heads.
Yeah.
You know how families sleep in Gaza?
No.
They sleep all together, hugging each other. So if they die, they die together.
Yeah.
And if you look to the pictures, you will see a lot of dead kids holding with their mothers, their parents. Through that, you can understand how they died.
Yeah.
They died hugging their parents. So all family sleeps in one place because they say, if we wanna die, let's die together.
Did you sleep like that as well?
In Jenin.
11 days ago?
In Jenin is different. The West Bank is a bit out of this bombing
area.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what is happening in Jenin is a different technique of occupation. It's a different way.
Okay. Explain to me.
Explain it to you, and I'll read a monologue about the situation in Jenin. Okay. So in Jenin, in the West Bank, the army comes every night with their tanks and bulldozers. They kill people and they destroy streets. And
how do they destroy streets?
With a bulldozer called D9.
Yeah.
You can Google it.
Oh yeah.
And they come to the city, into the camp, and they start digging deep in the street, and just because they know winter is now happening.
Yeah.
So this makes people's life much worse.
Cold, you mean?
No, it is about destroying the streets, so the cars won't have the ability to drive anymore.
Yeah.
And they're destroying statues. And Jenin is a well-known city of watermelon.
Yeah.
And we got a huge statue of a watermelon in Jenin.
Yeah.
And a few days ago, a big bulldozer came and they destroyed this watermelon.
So there, if I'm translating into my own words, they're destroying the infrastructure, but also the identity in a way. Is that correct?
That's right. And that's why they also destroyed a statue of a horse that I am going to read for you. And
yeah.
In Jenin last month, more than 60 people were killed, like just last few months. And a big invasion happened in Jenin a few months ago. So every night I follow the news, the telegram every night, because the army comes in my city every night. Every night I'm worried about the life of the Palestinians, my family, my friends, my people back home.
A strange question. I really don't know anything about it. But do you have brothers, sisters, children, parents, people like that?
yes, of course.
You have children?
Yes, just we a have family. Question. No, I'm not married yet.
Okay.
And I'm one of the few Palestinians who's not married yet.
Okay. Why? No, the question why not is just a joke. That's your matter, of course. But
I have brothers and sisters and parents and friends and
And you've been there to school as a child. It's just you grew there. Oh, you grew up there.
I lived 31 years of the occupation, living it day by day, seeing it passing by the checkpoints, being stopped by the soldiers, seeing the bullets coming to me and escaping, seeing my friends dying, seeing the theater where I grew up was. Whole hall in the front of the theater, the street was bombed. And a few weeks ago, before I come here, we were watching a theater piece inside the theater, in the middle of the show. Suddenly the Israeli forces came to Jenin, my city, came to the camp.
Yeah.
And suddenly we found out there is special forces. Yeah. And the first time they do, they cut the electricity.
Yeah.
And we got no electricity in the theater.
So it was quite dark, I guess.
It is. And we are 150 people are stuck inside the theater.
Yeah.
More than 30 kids are in it. And we cannot open the stage of the theater to under the door of the theater to understand what is going on outside. And we hear whole bullets, like all the clashes coming for shooting. It is just a few meters from us.
Yeah.
And all kids were crying and we were so nervous. We were expecting the army will come open the door and come to us inside the theater.
And was that just a way to scare you or?
And then we, after 2 hours, after they left, we went out and we found three martyrs, Palestinians, who are killed. And whole cars, whole buildings around was like hurt. And that was scary. That was scary. I felt that I would lose my life in any second.
Yeah. Was that for you the scariest moment so far?
Or? No.
No. Okay.
I have a lot of scary moments,
I guess.
Of course.
Oh, okay. I have the feeling that you also would like to read some. And do you also, this is a music program. I don't mind. Do you happen to have music which could be a good starter after you read your piece?
You want to have a music now and then?
No, I think you would like to read your and after that I would like to start music. So maybe you think, well, if we've read that, there's a nice music to start. You see my point?
Yeah.
Something? Yeah. Is there something or otherwise I can also think about something?
There is a nice Palestinian music.
Yeah.
Called Al Al Kufiyi.
How do you write it?
A-L-I space A-L-K-O-F E-Y-A-H.
F-E...
Or can you say, it's My Blood is Palestinian. There is something on YouTube called My Blood is Palestinian.
Oh, okay. That's that's easier. My Blood is... My Blood is Palestinian. Let me see. Okay. Yeah, so you'll read it and then when you do like this, and then I'll start that music. Is that a good idea?
Cool.
Okay.
Or you can start a bit and then I go. You can start a bit of the music now if you want.
Yeah.
And then after 1 minute, I start my monologue and then we keep for the rest of the music.
Okay. 1 minute, then I'll stop the music and then after that, that's
and
fine.
Then we do the music again.
That's fine. Yeah. Let's do it.
على عهدي على ديني على أرض تلاقيني أنا لأهلي أنا فديهم أنا دمي فلسطيني 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 أنا دمي فلسطيني
Okay, so I want to start. My name is Ala and I'm from Jenin, the West Bank, Palestine. In April 2002, a big invasion happened in Jenin, my city, the north of the West Bank. The camp was totally destroyed. When I walked through Jenin, my city looked ravaged. The streets were full of shattered houses and bombed cars. We were buried in destruction. But at that time, Jenin showed everyone around the world our strength, our spirit, and the true meaning of resistance. We did not give up, but the next morning we started rebuilding patiently. Maybe that's why the Israeli Prime Minister by that time called us the Hornet's Nest. In 2003, a German artist came by for an art workshop. He was inspired by our spirit of resistance. So he started collecting demolished stuff, especially metal scraps from old cars and destroyed ambulances. And he started building with it. He was humming, cutting, and composing. He wanted to show us the strength that he saw in us. After 4 weeks, with the help of 15 Palestinians, he finally revealed the result. He had built a horse. Don't get me wrong. A statue of a horse. A big horse. Big legs. Big neck. Big eyes. This horse was huge, up to 5 meters high, looking up to the sky as if it had a strong connection with God. They drove the horse around the city and everyone was so proud of it, amazed. People were felt lifted by it. As you may know, the horse in Arabic is a symbol of a freedom. But to us, this horse was much more. It was not only a symbol of our freedom. This horse was a symbol of our resistance, our vitality, our strength. This horse was us. Of course, this changed nothing to the occupation that was happening and still. But every time someone was killed by the army, one of our brothers or sisters and fathers and mothers, this symbol grew only stronger. I know this can't be true, but it even felt as if this horse got bigger over time. In the end, we would build a roundabout and placed the horse in the middle of it. And we called it the horse roundabout. I myself loved that. Every time I drove by, I made a few rounds more, looking at it from different angles. This horse seemed bigger every time, and I grew stronger with it. It became our meeting point. During the day, we talked there, we fought, and we loved. We had our favorite coffee and spicy falafel. We shared our stories while the horse was listening. We laughed so much there, especially when Ahmed, my friend, was trying for real to ride the horse. At night, when we were asleep, this horse was not. It watched over us. 1 week ago from now, the Israeli occupation army entered Jenin. As every night, nothing new, but this night, this time we felt different. They did not come to kill or arrest one of us. No, this time we felt different. They did not come to show their fancy tanks. This time we felt different. They came with a bulldozer. This bulldozer was different, bigger than any other bulldozer. They drove it right to the horse and they ripped it out. Our symbol of freedom as a piece of garbage. Since that week, my question is, what happened to the horse? Did they arrest him? Did it went to the court? Was he able to defend himself? Did they put him in jail? Did they ask him, do you condemn Hamas? Did they question the horse? Did he tell them anything about me, about Ahmed, who was trying to ride him all the time? About the secrets that I was telling him there? Did the horse tell the Israeli army about the kiss I had with Jumana secretly at the roundabout and the fact that she didn't like it? I don't know, but I can't let go of this feeling that this act had hurt me more than many other things they did to us. I mean, not the kiss, the horse. You see, they can hurt my body, but I can deal with the pain. They can hurt my friends, but I know they're strong. But this horse was our identity, and they had taken our core identity. So from now on, I'm rebuilding again, collecting again pieces of memories. I collect the pieces of memory I made around this horse, of me having coffee there with my friends, of me driving around it with my car, with Ahmed. In my mind, I will build a horse made out of memories, even stronger, even bigger, even more beautiful. You can arrest a horse, destroy it, but not the meaning of it. Thank you.
Listening to the in the plaatkast van, which means in the dashboard from, by the way, of Allah, which I obviously pronounce wrong. Allah.
Yeah, it's almost there.
Almost there. I'm getting there. If I practice enough, I'll do it the right way in the end. Anyway, you're also an actor, and I thought you've been now 10 days in Amsterdam, at least in the Netherlands.
Yes.
It must be very strange, those two. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you think, well, you can buy bread in both in Amsterdam and in Palestine, so it's not completely strange. Or do you think, well, it's like bizarre strange? How do you...
if Amsterdam is strange for me?
No, being in a peaceful. I mean, whatever you may think of Amsterdam, it's kind of peaceful.
And well, it is.
People are pretty friendly usually. You don't... thank God I've never been at a place where I was afraid of bombs.
Yeah.
Besides the nuclear bomb maybe someday, but besides that... I mean, well, that's a different world.
Of course, I grew up with that. We as Palestinians... we experience this day by day. A story happened to me a few weeks ago. I was driving from Ramallah to Jenin with the friends Muhammad, Albaz and Ward together. Yeah. And we were driving all the way in the West Bank from Ramallah to Jenin. And then suddenly we've been stopped by a settler who is an Israeli settler who stopped us. And then he came and he punished that door on us, and then he took his gun, and then we just left and he started to shoot at us. We almost will be killed if we just waited another second.
Why did he do it? A silly question maybe, but why did he do it? I mean,
because the Israeli settlers, they are occupying the land between the Palestinian city. So there is more than 700,000 settlers are living in the West Bank.
Yeah.
And they are full of hate to the Palestinians.
That's why.
Because they don't want us to stay in the West Bank. That's the point.
The peaceful Israelians,
the settlers,
they won't settle anywhere. They will just stay in Tel Aviv, I guess. Or is that true? Or
No. The settlers, they come to Palestinian lands and simply they say, this is ours. And this is, by the international law, it is illegal.
Forbidden. Yeah, yeah.
And 700 settlers are living there between our lands and killing Palestinians. So I was almost going to be killed after that accident.
And they don't get punished? Suppose they would have.
They got the support of them from the army.
Yeah,
so they got the support from the army. And we don't have guns. We cannot. No. And if we resist for that, they call us terrorists. That is
Then I'll ask you a tricky question. Do you, because it was also part of what you were saying about the horse, do you support Hamas? I mean,
that's the tricky question that every interviewer around the world is putting as a first line to put the Palestinians in a small corner. But it is not about supporting Hamas.
Yeah.
Hamas is not the story. Is the occupation is the story.
Yeah,
the occupation obviously. That is happening in Palestine since 75 years. It's not happened and started from October 7th.
No.
Where are the people from? Like, on what happened after the October 7th? What about the 13,000 people are killed till now? You know what I mean? So I hope that people understand that Hamas and what's going on right now, it is not about now. No. It is about suffering that we are living day by day as Palestinians.
What I, from a big difference in every way, thought when I heard about it, and obviously I don't follow it, but I thought, well, it's not good to take people hostage when they're going to a concert. That's obvious. But I could understand. My point.
Yeah.
I could understand the emotions which were starting the fact that you want to do things like that. So you see my point? My point is that although obviously cruelty is never a good answer, I can understand sometimes that you become cruel if you've suffered so much. That's what I mean.
It is not about doing something. It is about asking everyone for your right.
Yeah.
It's about convincing the people about your right. And about the point that you mentioned about the party, that taking the people... as civilians, as a hostage. I don't know if you just heard 2 nights ago, Haaretz, a well-known Israeli newspaper internationally, in their last report, they said, that they found burned bodies. And they were like, how this became? The police investigated and they found out that the Israeli military airplanes bombed and killed the people who was dancing in the party. And you can find it on Haaretz, which is an Israeli newspaper.
May I ask you a very strange question? Are you very, very, very angry in a certain way?
I am have a lot of feelings. It's not about angry. It's not about, it's about saying people are dying and they're not heard. I don't want my people to be die. I want everyone to live.
Yeah.
I want everyone to live. I want to live as a human being, as the rest of the world. It is about me seeing my family, my people are killed day by day, and no one is doing anything for it. It is about our rights as Palestinians to live as the rest of the world. That is our demand, is having equal rights for everyone. We just need to live normally. So, and we don't have the basic rights to live. I don't have the right to travel. I don't have the right to go from city to another normally. I don't have the right to...
But, at first I felt like, obviously everything we do now is improvisation, but I thought, well, I want to hear 2 weeks ago somebody requested for an Israeli peaceful song, so I feel like listening it now and then we'll continue talking. Do you mind? I don't know literally what he's saying, but the guest who was sitting there said this is a peaceful song with a person who was for a two-state solution of an Israeli singer, and I hope that somehow we all can find peace in finding art with each other. So then I feel like listening.
I don't know how, to be honest with you, I can't listen for an Israeli song while the Israelis are killing my people right now.
Okay, then I'll respect that.
Yeah, it's so hard because I just shared a video now. Like I see, kid, you can't find his hand, his arm, his head.
Yeah.
It's mascaras. I can't do this. 13,000 people. I can't listen while the reality is different, my friend.
So
the reality is totally different from all this thing. It's much heavier. Of course, we all want peace. We all want to live normally.
I wanted to listen to it, but I respect the fact that you don't feel like...
I don't feel...
Yeah, you feel uncomfortable, I won't do it.
Thank you.
But I always hope that art can help in finding a solution and at least understanding each other a little bit. Also, you as an actor, I mean, there were two things I knew about you 2 hours ago, that you were an actor and you were a Palestinian, but also you were an actor. And I thought maybe people make music or people act can also try to find things they like together, singing together. You can do with everybody.
Sure.
And also you can also, by acting, understand your biggest enemy. Mm-hmm. And I thought, is there a way in this horrible situation that by acting together and singing together, also with your enemies, with other Israelis who are, of course, prepared to find some peace together?
Of course, this is it's a very beautiful, fancy idea. Very romantic, very beautiful and very sexy. But the reality is not like that. And I don't like hypocrisy. I don't like lying. No, the Israelis are killing us. It's a fact.
Yeah.
It is happening minute by minute. Why? Why would I lie?
Yeah, why would I make it to lie?
You know, it's not you.
No, not me.
Of course. But why we want to make the occupation as a romantic occupation, nowhere together? This is, we call it a normalization. This is, we call it, we pretend that everything is okay. And at the same time, it is not.
But may I ask you a strange question then? We'll first go to music and then I'll ask you a strange question. What do you want? Here, is there another... I can also listen ABBA for something.
You can put something.
Yeah, I'll do ABBA. Sure. Yeah, and then Waterloo. Because, the guest who was coming here originally said, I would like to listen to ABBA. So this has nothing to do with you in this way. Mm-hmm. Especially for Alifka Belsma, we'll listen to ABBA. Waterloo.
Be
obviously a complete different sphere from what we were talking about, Waterloo. But on the other end, there was a strange parallel. I thought Waterloo was a moment when the whole world said no to Napoleon, and then Napoleon had to go back to wherever he went to. So it is. But I, when we were just listening for talking to each other, I thought, when thinking about you and how you feel, when you meet somebody in Amsterdam, he says, "Well, I'm Jewish," for example, and then you probably would talk about how they see the situation in Israel, or you just deny, don't talk about it.
I have a lot of Jewish friends.
Oh, okay.
A lot of Jewish friends. Just yesterday I met a Jewish lady, and as soon as she knew that I'm Palestinian, she started crying.
Yeah.
And she said, "I'm so sorry of what's going on. It is not about Judaism. It's not about religion. I'm so sorry." And I said, "We know, of course. We don't have any problem with the religion at all.
No.
The problem is with the occupation." So it's never...
Yeah, but because 10 minutes ago you didn't want to listen to a very good, I don't mind, that's not a judgment, but to an Israeli song, and then, but well, what I want to, what I hope is that the good persons from, I always hope that the good persons find each other.
Of course,
I think there are, I know for certain there are good persons in Israel. Not the politicians who bomb, but others.
Of course.
How can you find each other? That's my question.
That's a question that's in the head of everyone since 75 years.
Yeah.
How?
You, what's your opinion on that? Maybe in art, I thought.
It is very simple. It is just to end the occupation. It is just to give the rights to the Palestinians. It is ending the occupation. And then we have no problems, but just ending the occupation. I want to move freely in my land. I want to, you know, that we're not allowed to have airport in Palestine.
Yeah.
We don't control our borders. Israeli checkpoints between every city all the time. While you're driving between the Palestinian cities, always you have fear that you will get shot from a settler or a rocket, a stone will be thrown on your car. So I lived that reality since 32 years.
And you are 32 or?
Yeah, I'm 32.
Okay, so your whole 32. Life. Yeah, okay.
And I lived there. So I want this incubation to end. So hopefully we as Palestinians have our own freedom.
Yeah, because when I was asking how do you feel in Amsterdam or whatever place besides Palestinian area, I thought, well, when all the airplanes stopped right after 9/11, that's the moment I thought, well, now I don't hear airplanes anymore. And all the other times I do hear airplanes, and it felt silent in a peaceful way, strange as it may sound. And I can imagine that if you have, you can just walk around. You can go to France now with your car and nobody checking you.
that's confusing for me.
That's
Palestinian.
That's what I mean. Yeah,
like when I walk and no one stops me, no one like, I feel I want a checkpoint, you know?
Yeah.
I want to be checked. I want to be asked like what I'm doing here, what I have in my bags. Yeah. I want, you know, sometimes they take me naked, take the jacket, take the trousers. I miss that feeling.
Yeah, and I think when you see a police guy here, you don't need to worry. I mean,
no, it's totally different. But
yeah,
you know, it's totally different situation here. You know,
isn't it strange? Also,
it
anyway?
Is. It is very strange because I'm not used to. But yeah, that's the system here. But you know, if one day you come to Palestine, you will understand. You'll see the checkpoints. You'll see the wall. You'll see the reality of us as Palestinians. So,
and I think maybe, but correct me if I'm wrong, you are in a strange way lucky because you managed to come to the Netherlands.
Yes, because of my career as an actor, so I already had a visa, so that's why but most of the Palestinians cannot get a visa to come to the EU, and most of the Palestinians are not allowed even to leave the West Bank because they're not allowed by the Israelis. Because when you want to leave the West Bank, there is a checkpoint by the Israelis. They need to see that you're passing or not. So a lot of Palestinians, they're not allowed to leave the West Bank.
Yeah, but if suppose a young Palestinian is listening, the chance on that is very little. But you would say, well, become an actor and then you can go to Europe. I mean, is there a way to avoid checkpoints in a way, to get a career, to get a more normal life than feeling oppressed for Palestinians?
Well, when I sleep, I try to forget about it. And I wake up, I find it in front of my eyes, in front of my house. How can I escape it? It is not something mental that you want to forget about it. No.
Yeah.
You see the tanks. You see the settlements on your way to the work. You see the soldiers. You see the soldiers, like, you know, I was stopped, one of the stories, I was stopped by an Israeli checkpoint, and the soldier, she asked me about my ID, and I know that my ID, I don't have it with me here, it is under my seat, it's under my chair, and I told her, like, listen, can you give me a minute? I'm not taking a risk, my ID is under my chair.
Yeah.
And I know if I put my hand under my chair to pick my ID, you will shoot me.
Yeah.
Under the excuse, I'm causing danger.
Yeah. You could get a gun in her point of view.
Yes, I could take a gun.
Or bomb or whatever.
Or whatever. And I said, I know a lot of my colleagues and friends died this way. Thanks God, I know the number of my ID. Can I say the number of my ID? Because if I went to pick my ID, I'll be killed like a lot of Palestinians. And she started to laugh. Okay, tell me the number. I told her the number of my ID. And she said, okay, yalla go. I said, just remember how many Palestinians were killed because they just want to take something under the excuse. They want to do something.
Sorry for looking for the good things when they are bad. Wasn't that also a kind of a good girl who just knew the situation? I mean,
in which way?
Well, she saw you as a person at that moment and she started laughing. I mean,
no, she started laughing because I was aware of me being in, because others will do it this way and give it to her.
Yeah.
Because
when I started this interview, I thought, and we're going to talk about your acting and about the Palestinian situation, and we are 50 minutes further, and we've basically most talked about the Palestinian situation.
We can't talk about the career.
Why did you become the last 9 minutes? Why did you become an actor, and how do you manage?
Well, when I became a kid, 15 years old, I just felt I wanna imitate characters. I look at the TV and I go to the next room. I imitate the characters from the TV. I had that feeling that I want to imitate, I want to act, I want to become an actor. But the idea of being an actor in Palestine is weird a bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, I made it. I lied a lot to my family because I told them I go to the university, but I did not. And thanks God we have the Freedom Theater in Jenin. It's one of the most beautiful places. The Freedom Theater is a place was created in 2006 in Jenin camp.
Yeah.
And it was the first open, the first...
Who originated it?
Giuliano Merchamis.
Who's that?
Giuliano Merchamis is a Palestinian who's from 1948 area. He came to Jenin camp and he opened the first theater in the north of the West Bank in 2006. Yeah. And lucky enough, I was in the second generation of that theater.
Yeah.
And I joined the theater in 2010. Unfortunately, in 2011, this director was killed with 9 bullets in his chest.
By Israeli people?
Until today, no one knows how this guy was killed.
You don't know by whom?
No, okay. Until now, the investigations leads to nothing. No answer till now.
Yeah.
So he is one of the founders of the theater. And he got this in spirit about freedom, about arts, about making theater in Palestine and touring the world.
Yeah.
And I he was one of our, you know, the people who inspired us.
Yeah.
And he built that theater. And till now we have 5 generations of artists in Jenin. That place that talk about cultural resistance, about our rights. How can we be on a stage and talk about our rights as artists and as Palestinians from the stage through comedy, masks, clowning, story, drama, storytelling.
During this occupation, during these horrific weeks, besides the occupation, which is always, of course. Do you perform also for your own people sometimes? Or
of
often?
Course, yeah. I work as a doctor clown in the hospitals. I go to perform for the kids. We do a lot. We have Palestine Comedy Club. We do stand-up comedy shows in the West Bank, in the UK. We make a lot of fun about us, about the situation. We travel the world also, do theater productions all over the world. So
in Amsterdam as well?
In Amsterdam, we just did the theater piece with Troupe Courage with the masks.
From Katrien van Buren, to say your name again, why you're here. Is there another moment that you can be seen in Amsterdam, maybe?
I am performing tomorrow.
Where?
I'm performing the monologue tomorrow.
You just did. And where do you know? Do you happen to know where?
I think I need to look for a second.
Is it out from Troupe Courage? If people Google Troupe Courage, can
no,
they find it?
No, it won't appear there. It is in a place maybe you can see and read the Dutch. And I think at No Man's Art Gallery.
Nomads Art Gallery.
Yeah, it's in the West.
Yeah, in Amsterdam West.
Yeah.
Okay. We're coming to a close, to an end. Yeah, I thought about ending with Imagine of John Lennon, but if you think, well, no, not that, then I'll do something else. What would you?
Sorry?
Imagine from John Lennon.
Imagine. Let's go and imagine, my friend.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's finish with John. Imagine from John Lennon. Yeah. Always good.
Yeah, Ahmed.
Not after thanking you very much for being here and telling that in 2 weeks, probably a cultural journalist will come there, but I'm not sure yet. But now we're listening to John Lennon with Imagine.
Imagine.